Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hello and welcome once again to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Glad to have you listening in. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Our focus today is on the marriage relationship and how we can speak each other's love language. And for that, we've got the doctor in the house. Stay tuned. Honor to visit once again with Dr. Gary Chapman. Gary, maybe first and foremost, has been married more than 45 years to his wife, Carolyn, and has been working on helping us improve our relationships for many years. He's been pastoring and marriage counseling and has written some powerful books, obviously, the Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. And since that book, of course, has done versions of that for teens and singles and men and children. He's also written other books from topics like anger, the family you've always wanted, the marriage you've always wanted, hope for the separated, and wasn't too long ago, he co-authored a book called The Five Languages of Apology. But we're just honored to have Dr. Gary Chapman here with us. We hear him on his daily radio minute. And today we're going to talk about a new book called The Five Love Languages Military Edition. And this is co-written with Jocelyn Green. And Gary, first of all, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Great to have you on.
Well, thank you, Neil. Always good to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about this, talking specifically to military men and women, because the statistics, or at least indications, seem to suggest that military marriages really are in trouble. So talk about what you've seen and heard and maybe why you decided to address this topic.
Well, you are right, Neil. Every time I am on a military base, the chaplains talk about the tremendous need in the area of marriage. The latest report I saw said that of enlisted men who are married in the military, two-thirds of their marriages end in divorce.
Wow.
So that is astounding, and the need is just so tremendous. And that's a part of what motivated Jocelyn and I to work together on writing this book.
You've had opportunity to be doing seminars and counseling for many years. Have you focused on military from time to time?
You know, 10 or 11 years ago, I had my first encounter with military marriages. I was invited to come to Fort Bragg, which is in North Carolina, where I live, and to give a lecture on the five love languages. And the chaplain that contacted me actually was in Afghanistan. And he said, if you'll do this, I'll get a satellite hookup, and we'll show your lecture to the guys over here while you're lecturing to their wives back there. And we did that, and it was pretty amazing. And they gave each of those couples 2 minutes on satellite to talk to each other after the lecture was over. And my wife and I were standing in the hallway hugging the ladies when they came out. They were showing these guys the baby that had been born since they left. You know, I mean, it was very emotional. But that was my first encounter. And since then, I've been on numerous military campuses, primarily under the auspices of chaplains. And I find the chaplains are very, very concerned and very committed to trying to help military marriages.
You know, I don't know if there's anything that really is comparable to the stresses of a family with a spouse deployed, but I'm sure that you've heard plenty of stories, and I know you're counting many of them in the book.
Yeah, and that's a huge area, and that's one of the things we really hone in on in this book is how to, first of all, get connected while you are together by learning each other's love language and speaking each other's love language. But then in the book, we talk about how do you speak these love languages while you're deployed? How do you stay connected emotionally while you're deployed? So I think this is one of the strong points of the book, because if couples can stay emotionally connected while they're deployed, then when they come home, the reentry is much easier because they're not so isolated from each other emotionally.
You know, it seems like the military sort of competes with marriage, doesn't it? The soldier's really married to the military. When the leader says go, he has to go, or she has to go.
Well, that is true. And uh, So there's a sense in which military lifestyle is not very conducive to marriage. And, you know, especially if you have two people in the military, husband and wife in the military, and there's a number of those, and they get deployed to different places. I mean, it's kind of crazy, really. But that's a part of military life, and those who are in the military, you know, have to deal with that. And one of the things we're trying to say in the book is, look, it is possible to have a successful military career and have a successful marriage. And so we're trying to help them on the marriage part. We can't control what the military does, but we can help them on how to thrive, you know, in a marriage, even if you're in the military.
You know, there's been, of course, dozens of books, and you've written many wonderful ones on that, and, of course, do seminars, lots of studies. Does it still come down to our sort of our language differences? I mean, it feels like it's so simple, and yet it's so hard to do.
Well, you know, this is a big part of marriage, Neil. It's not all of marriage, to be sure. But if a couple can learn how to communicate love in a language that the other person understands and feels, we're talking about emotional love here. If we can keep the love tank full and stay emotionally connected, then we can process the rest of marriage and the rest of life much easier. For example, all couples have conflicts, okay? It's a part of life because we're human. We think differently, we feel differently. But if you feel loved by each other, then you can navigate those conflicts in a much more positive manner and find solutions. Because couples who don't find solutions to conflicts end up saying, well, you know, we're just not compatible. We just don't agree on anything. And the fact is they're just two humans who never learn how to respect each other's ideas, respect each other's feelings, and focus on solutions rather than on winning an argument, you know. And so keeping love alive helps in all aspects of the marriage.
You know, talk a little bit more about the emotional love and about the feelings, because I think, you know, on the one hand, we know that love is as much about commitment as it is about feelings, and feelings don't necessarily last. They change.
Well, that is very true. And the point we make in the book is that love is essentially, love begins with an attitude. You know, I am married to you. How can I help you? How can I enhance your life? That is the attitude of love. It's found throughout the scriptures. It's found in, you know, in human relationships that are successful. It's that attitude. Then it leads to actions. It leads to behavior. That is, we want to help them. We want to enhance them. So we're looking for ways to do that. However, when we do that in the right way, it stimulates inside warm emotional feelings toward the other person. So there is an emotional aspect to love. Love is both an attitude, a behavior, and it has accompanying emotions. And almost all people agree that the deepest emotional need we have as humans is the need to feel loved by the significant people in your life, whether that's your parent or whether that's your spouse or whether that's, you know, whatever relationship. If we feel loved by the significant people in our lives, then life is processed in a positive way and we enjoy life. If we don't feel loved, we're going to have a lot of internal struggles and we're going to have difficulty in that relationship.
You know, when we're dating, when we sort of quote-unquote fall in love, do we know how to do this naturally and then we forget once we're married?
I think when we're in love, we speak all five languages.
Okay.
We do everything we've ever thought of doing to express love to the person, and consequently, we're hitting each other emotionally. I mean, we're feeling it, you know, in the relationship. But when we come down off the high, and that's usually a two-year stint, the high emotions last for 2 years. When we come down off the high, we go back to being normal, and we speak typically our language, that is, whatever makes us feel loved, that's what we do for the other person. So if my language is words of affirmation, I'll give my wife words of affirmation. I'll tell her how beautiful she is. I'll tell her how much I love her. I'll probably tell her 10 times a day, I love you, honey. But if that's not her language, and her language is acts of service, and when I was dating, I was serving her. I was doing everything I could to help her. I'd clean her car. I'd do all those things. But now I'm not doing any of that. And so it's a matter of time she's going to say to me, you know, you keep saying, I love you, I love you. If you love me, why don't you help me? And I'm blown out of the saddle because I'm doing what I think would communicate love to her, but I'm speaking the wrong language.
We'll talk about how we can maybe train ourselves to love, and we'll review those five love languages. We've just heard a couple of them, but we'll kind of delve into them a little bit more and talk particularly about, you know, some of the challenges that military families face in applying and living out the love languages. And we'll get some great insights, as always, from Dr. Gary Chapman. He's with us today. The new book is called The Five Love Languages Military Edition. It's The Secrets to Love That Lasts, and it's co-authored with Jocelyn Green. And we're talking to Dr. Gary Chapman here on Connecting Faith, and we'll continue in just a moment.
It's encouragement and hope for your daily journey.
It makes a difference in my life in that it's so encouraging and inspiring. During my drive time, I appreciate it too, and my errands that I'm running and things that I'm doing. It's a real blessing because it's encouraging and inspiring throughout the entire day, each day.
Connecting your faith to your life every day. Thanks for growing with us on Faith Radio.
How would you describe Faith Radio?
It's inspiring.
It really challenges me.
It gives me that nudge I need in the right direction.
We'd be honored to hear why you listen and why you'd recommend Faith Radio to friends and loved ones. It's simple to share your story. Just call our Faith Line and leave a message with your story. The number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-93-FAITH. Then press 2 for the Faith Line. And thank you for sharing your story on the Faith Radio Faith Line.
Talking today with Dr. Gary Chapman. He's a best-selling author, The Five Love Languages, and a number of versions of that for teens and singles and men and children. And he's written a new one that we're excited about today, talking about The Five Love Languages Military Edition, and specifically how we can apply these for those that are in military families. And it may be that you have someone in your family who's in maybe a regular Army or is on guard duty, gets deployed from time to time. And these are going to be some practical discussions that will help you. And we've got some copies to give away. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And Dr. Chapman, let's review again. We sort of touched on a couple of the love languages, but they've sort of categorized in five basic ones. Let's review them again.
Well, one of them is words of affirmation, using words to affirm the other person. You look nice in that outfit. Really appreciate what you did. You can focus on the way they look, something they've done for you. You can focus on their personality, just something you like about them, something you appreciate. It's simply using words to communicate. And for some people, this speaks deeply to them. And then there's gifts. It's universal to give gifts as an expression of love. The gift says, they were thinking about me. Look what they got for me. So the gift communicates to them emotionally that you love them, you were thinking about them. And then there's acts of service, doing something for them that you know they would appreciate. That can be in a marriage, cooking meals, washing dishes, vacuuming floors, doing laundry, mowing grass, washing cars, walking the dog, changing the baby's diaper. Woo, big act of service. Anything that you know your spouse would like for you to do, acts of service. And you know the old saying, Neil, actions speak louder than words. For these people, that is true. The actions really communicate to them. And then there's quality time, giving the person your undivided attention. Now, I'm not talking about simply being in the same room, you know, watching television, because somebody else has your attention. TV's off, computer's down, you're looking at each other, you're talking, you're interacting, or taking a walk down the road and talking to each other, or going out to eat, assuming you talk to each other, giving them your undivided attention. And then number five is physical touch. We've long known the emotional power of physical touch. In a marriage, we're talking about such things as holding hands, kissing, embracing, the whole sexual part of the marriage, arm around the shoulder. Driving down the road, you put your hand on their leg, sitting around the house, and they walk by and you trip them. I'm kidding, okay? I'm kidding on the last one. But physical touch, it's a powerful communicator. So those are the five languages. And, of course, the idea is that each of us has a primary language, and that's the one we understand best. That's the one that really communicates to us.
And I think as we've talked before, because we each have a primary language, we tend to assume that our mate speaks that same language, or we just sort of naturally speak out of our primary language, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Very similar to spoken language. You know, everyone grows up speaking a language with a dialect. I grew up speaking English, Southern style, okay? But everyone grows up speaking a language with a dialect, and that's the one you understand best. And the same thing is true with love. We all have a primary language, and that's the one we understand best.
You know, in fact, I know in the book, it sort of caught my attention, but, you know, even though we can speak the same language, but a different dialect has different implications. I think you gave an illustration, I think it was maybe acts of service, where a husband was doing things, but they weren't the things that his wife really wanted, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we can have a different language, and we can also have different dialects within that language. So it's important to find out, you know, what makes my spouse feel loved. And once you find it, then do it. And as you do, you know, you keep the love tank full. And if they speak your language, you feel loved. So everybody's happy, and we process life in a positive way.
I'm looking at this list, you know, from words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, physical touch. I think for military families, someone who's deployed or, you know, separated by maybe thousands of miles, it seems like more than half of those languages, you know, aren't going to be easily filled.
Well, you're exactly right, Neil. And this is where we did a lot of homework. We talked to a lot of couples who understand the love language concept and found out a lot of practical ideas on how to speak these languages long distance. For example, you would think that physical touch would be absolutely impossible to speak when you're half a world away. But remember, we're talking about emotionally communicating love. And for example, here's an idea that one lady shared with us. She said, I put my hand on a sheet of paper and I trace it. I trace my fingers. I trace my hand. I fold that paper up and send it to my husband, whose language is physical touch, and I tell him, put your hand on my hand and let me hold your hand. And he said to her, after he did that, I felt you. I felt you holding my hand. Now, obviously, it's not literal touch, but it is emotional touch, and that's what matters. That communicated deeply to her husband that she was loving him. And then there was a husband, for example, who said, my wife's language is physical touch. So I write her a letter or send her an email, and I say, if I were with you right now, I would give you a hug you would never forget. And she said, as I read that, I could feel it. I could feel it. He's loving me. And another husband said, I left my denim shirt at home, and I told her, because her language is physical touch, when you need a hug, put this shirt on and let me hug you. And she said, when I put that shirt on, I can feel his arms around me. So there are ways to communicate love emotionally, even when you're half a world away. And that's one of the really strong points of this book. And that's one of our main purposes, is helping couples learn how to communicate all of these languages while you are deployed so that you can stay connected with each other emotionally.
And, of course, technology has helped us a great deal, too, and just in terms of even, you know, time together or words of affirmation, whether it's, you know, Skype or, you know, emails or those kinds of things. I mean, even if someone is deployed in a battle zone, there's still opportunity to have some sort of connect time.
That is exactly right, Neil. And that obviously is something that wasn't there. I remember in the Second World War, my dad was in the Navy, and he would write letters to my mother. And my mother would read them to me and to my sister. And we all felt loved by Dad, you know, as we read those letters. But that's all that was there, was letters. And they were coming a month later, you know. But still, they were communicating. But now, you're right, with technology, it's much easier for military couples to stay connected. And, you know, words of affirmation, because of that, words of affirmation is pretty easy. You know, email or phone or whatever, you can do that. Gifts are relatively easy. Because you can send gifts to people who are deployed. They can actually, you know, call Amazon.com or whomever and have a gift delivered to you. So gifts is pretty easy. It's physical touch that's more difficult, that people, you know, have trouble wondering, well, how can we do this? And quality time, you know, because quality time means you're giving them your undivided attention. So some of the things we found in quality time would be such things as reading the same book at the same time, each of you are reading a chapter, whether you're reading it online or reading, you know, the book, holding it in your hand, you read a chapter, and then on Skype or on email or on the phone, you talk about it and what you learned out of that chapter. So, or another idea was going to a common website and reading an article, and then, again, sharing with each other your thoughts about that. So there are ways to communicate all of these things. And we found with Quality Time, another is the old-fashioned letter, that it really communicates to people for whom their language is Quality Time. Because they get that letter and they realize, man, it took some time for them to write this. I mean, old-fashioned handwriting, this took time. They're thinking, they're right, and now I can hold it in my hand, and I can read it again and again and again. So that's another way that we can communicate with Quality Time.
Just as you were giving those examples, it just reminded me again how much of this is about how it's perceived or how it's received, right? You know, it may not be you know, my sort of first language to spend quality time or sit down and write a letter, but to know that it's being received, you know, just makes it so much more meaningful. Right?
Yeah, and that's what's important, is understanding what your spouse's love language is, and then realizing that to them, this really speaks deeply. It may not speak deeply to you if they were doing that to you, but it does speak deeply to them, and that's what we have to keep in mind.
So can we actually sort of train ourselves in the language? I mean, just like learning a language, I guess, as a child or as an adult, I mean, is this really, will training make the difference?
I think that's the good news, Neil, is that all of these languages can be learned. Now, let's be honest. Not all of us received all five languages growing up. In fact, most of us didn't receive all five. So they won't come natural for us. Some of them will not come natural. If you didn't receive words of affirmation growing up, it will not be natural for you to speak words of affirmation. But the good news is, as an adult, once you learn the importance of speaking words of affirmation, you can learn to do it. I encourage people, for example, write down statements that you hear other people say to their spouse, you know, that are positive, or things you read in a book or in a magazine. Write them down, stand in front of the mirror, read them out loud, hear yourself saying these things, then pick out one of them. Walk in the room where your spouse is and say it, and then you can run. But you broke your silence. And the second time is easier, the third time is easier. So all of these languages can be learned. And that's the good news, because, you know, sometimes people discover a language and say, oh, man, I can never do that. I'm just not a toucher. I mean, I didn't grow up in a touchy-feely family. I can't do that, you know. Well, the fact is you can. You can learn every one of these languages, and you take it one step at a time.
Yeah, I guess we sometimes think it should probably come easier, that it shouldn't be hard. I mean, I guess we're still hoping for that that first 2 year, the emotional high, not to wear out.
Yeah, and the reality is, love essentially is a sacrificial act. I mean, you're doing something for the other person. It's not that you necessarily enjoy doing it. You know, I vacuum floors for my wife, for example, because her language is acts of service. Well, I do not enjoy vacuuming floors, you know. I mean, once a year is all I would ever need to vacuum for me, you know. Fuzzy balls don't bother me. But love is something you're doing for the other person. And once you understand that and the difference it makes in their life, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it. I say to guys, you know, if helping your wife with the laundry is going to give you a happy woman, it's a small price to pay for a happy lady, you know.
Dr. Gary Chapman is the author of the best-selling book, The Five Love Languages Series, director of Marriage and Family Life Consultants, and he travels the world presenting seminars, a radio program, and has written a new book, co-authored with Jocelyn Green, called The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts. It's the military edition. And in each of at the end of each chapter, there's some specific sort of, I guess, military decoding assignments, right?
Yes, helping the military apply this concept in various situations. And understanding, you know, it's not only deployment, it's other factors also in the military that can be different from civilian life. And we're trying to help them navigate the waters with those things so that, as I said earlier, you can have a successful military career and a successful marriage. And that's what I'm hoping for. And that's what a lot of the chaplains are working toward in the military, is helping couples learn how to have a good marriage.
We're going to talk a bit more here with Dr. Gary Chapman in just a moment as we talk about the Five Love Languages Military Edition. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
Sacrifice, selflessness, and courage. They're values worth celebrating, and they're the very definition of America's veterans. All this month, join Faith Radio friends saying thank you to our servicemen and women, past and present. Watch moving stories of service and share yours at our website. And while you're there, sign up for the chance to win Gary Chapman's special military edition of the Five Love Languages. From friends and neighbors across the Upper Midwest, thank you for your service. Honoring veterans together at myfaithradio.com.
Helping you grow deeper in your faith.
Is it possible to be a Christian but not a disciple? Hey friends, this is Susie Larson, and on the next Live the Promise, I'm honored to talk with Patrick Robertson, president of City Team International. We're going to look at the stories from around the world of men and women who are following the Great Commission and making disciples of Christ.
Live the Promise with Susie Larson, weekdays from 3 to 4 on Faith Radio.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Dr. Gary Chapman, our guest today, as we talk about the five love languages and with a special focus on the military families. Dr. Chapman has just written a new book called The Five Love Languages, Military Edition. He's co-authored it with Jocelyn Green. And Dr. Chapman, maybe most importantly, has been married 45-plus years, and he's author, best-selling author of the Five Love Languages series and director of Marriage and Family Life Consultants, does counseling, also some pastoring, does a radio program, and we're just honored to have him with us today. Gary, we've been talking about military families and just a few of the special challenges that come during deployment, but maybe it's just as challenging when the military spouse comes back home, and you've been gone for maybe up to a year or so, and then you're back, and it just seems like there's sort of a upset time as we've gotten used to operating without that spouse.
Yeah, that's a huge time of adjustment, Neil, because that one spouse at home has been doing basically everything, and now the other spouse comes back, and if they want to jump in and start doing what they did before, it kind of disturbs the equilibrium of the other spouse, so that's part of the problem. Also, many times they come back from deployments, and they're struggling emotionally. They've been through so much trauma that they come back, and they're not the person they were before. And the spouse realizes this. They may be withdrawn, or they may not want to be involved in social activities, whereas before they were very social. So, the emotional state of the one who is returning is also a huge factor in this. And that's why, again, if the two of them can stay emotionally connected while they are deployed, it does make the reentry much easier. It doesn't solve everything, but it does make it much easier because they're at least coming back, feeling connected to each other. Navigating things can be very, very difficult at that point. I remember the husband who came back and was suffering from post-traumatic syndrome disorder. And whereas before they would do their quality time in the evening and go out to restaurants, and just have wonderful quality time together. But those large crowds at noon, in the evening at those restaurants, were disturbing to him emotionally. He could hardly concentrate on talking to her. So they started going out for lunch where there was not as much crowd, not as much noise, and that was much better. So their quality time over a meal was changed from dinner to lunch. So, there are adjustments, I think, that have to be made depending on the nature of the emotional state of the one who's returning.
We talk about the five love languages. I mean, it seems like all of them should be in evidence, right? It's just that maybe one or two are the primary ones.
Exactly, Neil. And I'm glad you clarified that, because I'm not trying to communicate that you only speak your spouse's primary language. What I'm saying is you give heavy doses of the primary language. Then you can sprinkle in the other four and get extra credit, okay? But if you don't speak their primary language, you can speak some of the others, but it will not really communicate. It will not fill the love tank, okay? And that's why I think we sometimes are frustrated, because we will be speaking one or two of the other languages, and then our spouse says, "I just feel like you don't love me." And we say, "What? After all the things I do for you, I don't love you?" And what they're saying is, "Yeah, you do a lot of things for me, but we don't ever sit down and talk." You know, they want quality time, and we're doing acts of service. So I think, you know, that's why there's a lot of frustration when you honestly are doing what you think would communicate love, and then your spouse says, "I just feel like you don't love me." So understanding that there are different languages and the person has a primary language and we have to learn that can help you work through the frustration.
You know, I was thinking maybe it's not just in military situations, but that, you know, oftentimes the soldier has to compartmentalize. But, you know, Maybe we all do that anyway, you know, just whether it's our you know, jobs or whatever it is. And so we, you know, to sort of having been focused on compartmentalizing and then sort of come back to, I guess, re-entry, it takes a while to kind of pull that out, I think, doesn't it?
It does, and that's one of the reasons why we say to couples, you know, don't expect too much in the first week or two after they come back. Because I think the first time a person's deployed and they come back, they're both thinking, boy, this is going to be heaven. We're going to get home. It's going to be heaven. It's going to be heaven. And then they get home, and things aren't exactly like they used to be, you know. So we try to help them prepare for the fact that it's going to be different. It's going to take some time to work back together and learn how to work as a team again. So understanding that and preparing yourself for that emotionally is really important. Yeah, and, you know, I think, Neil, those of us who are in civilian life do not understand the pressure that military couples live with. I remember in the midst of all of our research on this, I sat down in Virginia with 20 wives of Navy SEALs. And I said, "Tell me what it's like." And I listened for an hour and a half as these ladies talked with me about what it was like. And one lady said, "I know this is probably crazy, but when I hear a car door slam outside my house, I listen carefully to see if there's two car doors that slam, because I know if there's been a casualty, there'll be two men coming to my door." You know, she lives with that reality that her husband is in harm's way every single day. And those of us who are in civilian life, we don't live with that stress. So I think, you know, if all of us who have some interaction with military spouses need to be more empathetic and more involved with them in trying to help them while their spouses are deployed. And many churches are doing a good job at this, churches that have, you know, a good number of military couples. But we all need to be more sensitive to military couples.
You know, just as I was reading the book again, The Five Love Languages, Military Edition, it did remind me that there really is an important role for the church to play, or a small group, isn't it, to come around and just to be, you know, be that warm touch or providing some acts of service when the spouse is away.
Absolutely. You know, even simple things like volunteering to keep the children for an evening, to let that wife who's at home, who's, you know, who's really a single mom for a whole year, giving her an opportunity to go to some event with her friends or whatever, you know, that will be meaningful to her. It's just all kind of things. Or letting her know that if there's an electrical problem or a car problem, we got people in our church that will look at it and see if they can help. If they can't, they'll help you find somebody to get it fixed. You know, those kind of things can be very, very meaningful. And I'm grateful that a lot of churches are tuning into this, and because the need's there. It's the opportunity to show the love of Christ to these people, whether they're Christians or not, you know. Yeah. And many of them can come to Christ when they see love exhibited by the church.
You know, we're talking about stress. One of the things I hadn't really thought about, I guess, as a reading about the impact of frequent moving, that there's that stress of relocation and sort of not really having roots down very much.
Yeah, and that is a part of the lifestyle. Now, let's face it, in the general culture, There's a lot of moving that goes on today because jobs and all that sort of thing. But it's not like the military, because the military tells you when to move. You don't have a choice in it. You're going to move. And often you're moving into a new setting and you don't know anybody. So this again is a time in which the church can be very, very influential. When a couple moves into a new setting, if the church, local churches can reach out and touch those people and bring them into the fellowship, then when they leave and are deployed, one of them, the other one has some friends, you know, some Christian friends that they're already involved with.
Dr. Gary Chapman's my guest today, and we're talking today about his latest book, The Five Love Languages, Military Edition. He co-authored it with Jocelyn Green, and you can find out more about love languages on the website, five lovelanguages.com, fivelovelanguages.com. By the way, we've got some copies of The Five Love Languages Military Edition, The Secret to Love That Lasts, and we'll tell you how we're going to give those away at the end of today's program, and tell you about a special opportunity on our website at myfaithradio.com. In the meantime, stay tuned for more with Dr. Gary Chapman here on Connecting Faith.
Hi, this is Chip Ingram, the teaching pastor from Living on the Edge, heard each weekday at 11 a.m. on Faith Radio. I'm thankful that the team at Faith Radio is committed to wholeheartedly pursuing Christ and sees the value of relevant Bible teaching. Would you join with us? You can give a gift safely and securely online at faithradionet.com or phone us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Thanks so much. Keep pressing ahead.
One of the first steps in getting help is to acknowledge that you need help. Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Some people, and sadly myself at times, would rather live in defeat for a very long time than to do what it takes to get God's help.
Trusting the Lord to be your helper on the next Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Listen weekday afternoons at 1:30 on Faith Radio.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and we're connecting today with Dr. Gary Chapman. He's the author of the best-selling book, The Five Love Languages series, and the director of Marriage and Family Life Consultants. And Dr. Chapman travels the world presenting seminars, and his radio program airs on more than 400 stations. And he has co-authored with Jocelyn Green a new book called The Five Love Languages Military Edition, The Secrets to Love That Lasts. Gary, we want to talk a little bit about just some encouragement for struggling marriage partners today, whether they're in the military or not. There's many people listening that are just going, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore, or I can't get my husband to talk to me, or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Well, Neil, the reality is that probably 60% of the marriages in this country are basically living as roommates. They're processing the logistics of life, but they don't have a close connection emotionally with each other. And this is why the love languages can be so important to those couples, and why so many people have said to me, you know, we were just kind of, our marriage was mundane, and we read the book on the love languages, we got the concept down, we took the quiz, we determined our love language, we started trying to speak it, and it literally changed the emotional climate of our marriage. So, you know, I just think that this simple concept can go a long ways in terms of creating the kind of marriage all of us want to have, which is an intimate, close, loving, supportive, caring, encouraging relationship. You know, when we have that, we're helping each other reach our potential for God and good in the world. And when we conversely are arguing with each other, putting each other down, you know, feeling resentment toward each other, we're making it more difficult for each other to do good things in the kingdom of God. So this is not the answer to everything, but it makes a huge difference in a marriage relationship.
Should we know our spouse's love language, or is this simply a matter of asking them?
Well, I think some people, when they read the five, will kind of automatically know what their spouse's language is. But a lot of them are thinking wrongly. That's why I encourage two or three things. One would be to take the quiz, if they're willing to take the quiz. It's free. It's in the back of the book, and it's also online at fivelovelanguages.com. But another way is to observe your spouse. How do they respond to other people? If they're always giving other people encouraging words, then that's probably their language. Or if they're always patting people on the back or giving high fives, then physical touch is probably their language. So observe their behavior. Secondly, what do they complain about most often? If they say, for example, "We just don't ever spend any time together anymore. I feel like we're two ships passing in the night." They're telling you quality time is their language. Or if they say, "I don't think you would ever touch me if I didn't initiate it," they're telling you physical touch is their language. Or you go on a trip and you come back and they say, "You didn't bring me anything?" They're telling you gifts is their language. You know, Neil, we tend to get defensive when our spouse complains about something. You know, if the wife says we don't ever spend any time together, the husband will say, "What do you mean? Well, I took you out to dinner last night. What do you mean?" You know, we get defensive. But they're really giving us valuable information. They're telling you their love language. And then the third clue is, what do they request of you most often? If they're saying periodically, "Could we take a walk after dinner?" Or, "Could we get a weekend away, you think, in the next few weeks?" They're asking you for quality time. Or if they're saying, "Could you give me a back rub?" They're asking you for physical touch. So listen to what they request of you most often. If you put those together, observing their behavior and what do they complain about and what do they request most often, you can pretty well nail their primary love language.
Well, I notice you use the word request. I know that there's an important distinction there as opposed to just telling, right? Telling your spouse to you know, do whatever it is you need.
Absolutely. It's request, not demands.
Unless we want to, you know, treat our spouse like a three-year-old, I guess, maybe.
And we don't respond well to that.
No. That way, even three-year-olds don't, most of the time, I think. What happens if we, if we're making efforts and our spouse doesn't seem to respond? I think, you know, I guess, do we expect immediate results?
Well, you know, I hear that often, you know, that I'm working hard on the marriage, I'm doing everything I can, and my spouse is not responding. One of the things I say is, let's focus on speaking the right love language for 6 months without regard to how they respond. You make a commitment yourself. With the help of God, I'm going to speak their love language at least once or twice a week for 6 months and just see what happens. And so you're not living week by week, you know, and say, "Well, I tried it this week, nothing happened. I tried it this week, and nothing happened." You're not living like that. You made a commitment for a long period of time. And see what happens by the end of the 6 months. And I have seen people who've tried this again and again and again. Their spouse will engage with them, begin to say to them such things as, "What could I do to help you?" Or, "You know, you've been awfully nice to me. I mean, you know, what's going on here?" And they want to talk about it. But they begin to sense that you really are living for them. You're really sacrificing for them. And it touches something inside of them that causes them to reciprocate. Now, I have to be honest, Neil. I don't want to say that everyone who tries this will have a spouse who will respond. You know, the Bible says we love God because he first loved us. But not everybody responds to God and his love. So I can't guarantee this, but I can say this is the most powerful thing you can do, in my opinion, to touch the heart of the other person.
Dr. Gary Chapman, my guest today, co-authored a new book, The Five Love Languages, Military Edition, with Jocelyn Green. Jocelyn's a former military wife and award-winning author. And Gary, I know you mentioned that your father was a veteran. I'm sure there was something very special about doing this particular version, as you have opportunity to meet with many military men and women and just to sort of hear their stories. Just some final thoughts about what it meant to be a part of putting this together.
Yeah, well, it brought back a lot of memories, Neil, for me, when I'm thinking about my father, you know, in the Second World War and our family going through that experience. It did bring back a lot of emotions. But also, my interfacing with military couples all over the country on various bases, and Jocelyn doing the same thing, it gave us a firsthand, you know, current reality as to the way military couples are living and the stresses that military couples are under, and a much greater empathy for those couples. So I'm spending as much time as I can. I can't take all the invitations I get, but I'm taking as many as I can to actually speak on military bases and try to, you know, draw couples into this and get them to understand the concept. And when I do, I get tremendous feedback from the couples, from the chaplains later on, who say, wow, we started a study group after you came, and the people are so excited about it, and things are really going well, and we're seeing real fruit. And that's what, to me, is so encouraging.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the military families have the same sort of issues that the rest of us do in terms of finances and, you know, parenting and all those kinds of things. It just tends to get magnified.
Yeah, absolutely. They face all the things that everybody else faces, plus, you know, the stresses of military life.
Dr. Chapman, it's always great to visit with you. Thank you for this good work and this encouragement. It just reminds us, again, I think, to pray for the men and women that wear the uniform, because they are often in harm's way and face difficulties plus and need our prayers.
Well, exactly, and I encourage people wherever I go speaking, pray for the military, pray for their safety, but also pray for their marriages and for their families.
Dr. Gary Chapman is author, best-selling books, The Five Love Languages series. He's director of Marriage and Family Life Consultants, and he travels doing seminars. His radio program heard on a number of stations, including Your Faith Radio, and has written a new book called The Five Love Languages, Military Edition, The Secrets to Love That Lasts. You'll find great benefit from any of his books on the love languages. You can find out more on the website, and again, maybe take the free survey or just to kind of the test to see about love languages in your own marriage relationship. If you go to 5lovelanguages.com, that's the number 5, and lovelanguages.com, you can get information there. Gary, thanks again for joining us today on Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Neil. Always enjoy chatting with you.
Well, we have some time left remaining on today's program, and in the minutes left, we're going to open up our phone lines to give you the opportunity to call in for a drawing of Dr. Gary Chapman's new book, The Five Love Languages, Military Edition. We've got a couple copies to give away, and we'll draw the names of the winners at the end of today's program. So for the next 6 minutes or so, you can call in and enter to win a copy of Dr. Chapman's book. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Give us your name and contact information. We'll draw two names at the end of the show and send you a copy of the book. Again, that's 877-93-FAITH. You know, if you're a military family or you know someone who is, then this resource will be a great help. So call us now to register before the end of the show, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Phone lines are open here till the end of the show. Now, one of the reasons that we want to have Dr. Gary Chapman on the program is because we want to honor our military men and women here on Faith Radio. And on our website, you'll find a page to tell us the name of your soldier, sailor, airman, or marine. And we want to build a prayer wall so we can pray for them and their families. And even if you or your loved one isn't on active duty, we'd still like to honor you for your service. And on that webpage, you'll find several resources to encourage the servicemen or women you know and love. So after you call us, go to our website at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com, and click on the banner that says Honoring Your Veteran. And we've got some great things on there, resources we want to talk about. But I wanted to bring in our listener engagement director, Sarah Marsalek. Sarah has a heart for veterans because, Sarah, you grew up in a military family, right? Or your father at least served, right? For
him. Yeah, my dad served 20 years in the Army and moved into the National Guard. I was actually born in Fort Benning, Georgia, on that military base there.
So you have a special appreciation for the men and women that wear the uniforms.
Absolutely, and my dad joined the military because his father served in World War II, and then my brother followed my dad's footsteps serving over in Iraq. And I know what it's like to live in that kind of family, under that kind of household, and it's just an honor to be able to thank our veterans this month.
That's what we want to do. In fact, I just mentioned the website, but we do have a little page set up there. We'll talk a little bit about what we want to do, or just as a way that we can honor our servicemen and women.
So. Oh, absolutely. So many times our servicemen don't want a trinket or anything like that. And saying thank you is the best thing you can do. Just simple thank you for your time served. I know my dad is humble about his time in the service, as is my brother, and so many military men carry that. Yeah. So on our website, it is just simply sharing their name, a photo, maybe a letter you wrote them while they were serving overseas. We're just finding those unique ways to simply say thanks.
Yeah. When you go to the website, you'll find some resources. In fact, we'll have this interview on with Dr. Gary Chapman. We'll have that on Jocelyn Green, who co-wrote the book, The Five Love Languages, a military edition with Dr. Chapman, interview that Ted and PK did with her. And we got a few other resources as well online, right?
We do. When you look over that page, you'll be able to get some resources for learning the love languages about your children who are children of the military family. Also, a wonderful resource if you have a veteran who's experienced combat trauma. Just resources and guides on how to navigate those conversations and just to love on your veteran the entire month.
One of the things that we also have available is Susie Larson's book, Alone in Marriage, Encouragement for the Times When It's All Up to You. And I know that, you know, she wrote that book to incorporate a lot of different situations, but it certainly is applicable, and we've got some copies of that to give away, too. Right?
So, yes, so we'll be giving away 5 copies of Gary Chapman's book and 5 copies of Susie Larson's book. And I know that she had a wonderful group guide her through while she was writing that book, Alone in Marriage. Military wives who knew what it was like to feel alone while their servicemen were overseas. So that book is specifically for the wives of men who are serving or have served.
So I encourage you to check that out. And Sarah, glad that you could come by. And we're really excited about opportunities to honor our servicemen and women this month.
So. Absolutely. Thank you so much, all the veterans out there.
Yeah. Make sure you give us a call here in the next couple of minutes, because we will be giving away a couple of copies of Dr. Gary Chapman's book here at the end of the show. The phone number is 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. And then, of course, you can go online anytime and then just share a little bit about your servicemen or women, someone that you know and care about, and we want to just honor their service and thank you for your willingness to just share a bit about life with us. And you can do that online. It's myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. I thought maybe as we wrap up today's show, we'd just enjoy a little bit of the that wonderful hymn tune that is so appropriate here as we think about our men and women that wear the uniform. And because of their service, we celebrate freedom. And, of course, next Monday is Veterans Day. In fact, we have a very special program next Monday in Veterans Day. We're going to hear about the wonderful military ministry of Campus Crusade, and looking forward to a very special time with Lieutenant General Jeff Oster. That's next Monday here on Connecting Faith. But in the meantime, a little bit of Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.